Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
It's good to have you here with us. I always enjoy these flashback moments going down memory lane through some good moments here on the show. And we're going to go back to late 2006, early 2007 today, and we're going to hear from Linda Randall. The first time we had her on the show, we talked about our history. We're going to talk to the Christ family the first time I talked to them. In fact, they were a very green new group on the scene, but they were making such an impact, and their story was intriguing. You're going to hear especially about the part of them just packing up from the northwestern part of the U.S., moving to the southeastern part on faith. It is truly inspiring. And Joel and Labriska Hemphill will be talking about some of their songs, of course, profound songwriting. And I'll tell you about how that group even had an impact on me as a child. By the way, these interviews took place originally in late 2006, early 2007. And we're going to get started with Linda Randall. Of course, you know her from the Gaither Tour. And her introduction on the Gaither video started with one song. And you may be surprised at kind of maybe how last minute this song really was. From 2006, here's Linda Randall.
Tell me a little bit more about One Day Jesus. Did you obviously knew that song ahead of time, right?
Well, I knew it ahead of time. I had sung it for years with my little Podunk soundtrack I had. And I would sing it and so many people would get blessed. But I told Jaron, I said, well, if he calls, because it just came, I wasn't even planning anything.
Yeah.
Because if you know anything about the tapings, you sit there and you don't know when Bill's going to call you. You try to stay poised. You try to powder your face. You know, make sure your lips are not dry for ladies. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of this thing. You want to look great when you get on, but you want to be a blessing, but you don't want to look crazy and all sweaty. And so I was like, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. But when I saw my name on the sheet of paper next to the last person who would sing that night, I said, Jaron, I think Bill is planning on calling me. And I wasn't even sure. I just saw the name. So that had to be the Holy Spirit, because I pulled Jaron aside. The piano that we used was turned, show you how awesome Jaron is. The piano was turned toward the wall with the covering over it, pulls it back a little bit. And I said, well, Jaron, if he calls me, I'm going to go. This song is, I said, one day Jesus will call my name as days go by. I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him. That is, I don't even know if I finished the song, Daniel. He had it just down. Like, okay, great. So sure enough, I sat there. We're going on. All of a sudden, Bill said, Linda Randall, listen. I said, oh, no, he's calling me. I was so nervous. I could not believe it. So I get there, and all of a sudden, Jaron starts on the piano, and you won't believe this. He starts on the piano. Then the whole band chimes in like, this is the most amazing track in my ear. Like, where and when did this happen? I was not used to musicians just putting it out like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I start to sing, and the tracks, and everybody filled in, and Bill leaped off of that floor. I don't know, to this day, I don't know how many inches up. He just went nuts, like, where did you get that song? And just, I was like, and for a long time, he thought I wrote it. And he would introduce me as, you know, this is my son. And I was like, no, Phil McHugh, you know.
Yeah.
But he was so ecstatic. And I can look at that video today or listen to that particular song on the Timeless Project, and it brings tears and goosebumps and everything. It's just a reminder of those beginnings and all of the emotions that went into it, the prayers. But it was a moment that I will never ever forget as long as I live.
Some days drag, some days fly, some days I think of the day I'll die. Some days thrill me, some days drain. And one day Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no big change on that day that Jesus calls my name. Most days I pray, but some days I curse. A sad number of days I put myself first, but it's not what I do. The cross made that plain, and one day Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him that it's no big change on that day that Jesus calls my name. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him that it's no big change on that day.
Talking a little while back about, and you just mentioned reconciliation, and you were talking about how you wanted to get real and have this real conversation. And I know when I'm talking with you, I don't have to dance around because you state the obvious.
Yes.
You're a black singer.
Yes.
And you're right now in the Gaither sense. It's kind of a white world there. You know, white. Yes. Bill calls it white gospel music versus black gospel.
Yes. Yes.
And I know you've called them, I think, what, your vanilla parents? Or
yeah, right.
Well, and you were talking about how the church and the black churches, they would respond to you. I played in Toccoa, Georgia for the oldest black Baptist church there for a while. And that was fun traveling, doing the different, where the choirs would go to different churches.
Yeah.
And here I am, their blue-eyed soul brother, they called me, you know. But I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit.
Yeah.
How has it been? You got Linda Randall and Jesse Dixon, and
yes.
And you're there in this environment. Was it new for you to be singing for I don't want to say a different audience, but you know, I guess they respond differently.
Well, yeah, you know what? I could tell you stories, Daniel, for radio or for not, but I got a letter from a guy who had only known us the N-word, that they only referred to us as such.
Yeah.
He said, after hearing me sing, I mean, the guy came to the concert, hugged my neck. I've been the first one some of these people have ever talked. I'm not even today. Yes, we're talking today.
Yeah.
And I know that there are some of these beautiful, not all the Southern older white women feel this way, but I know there are some that if I were, you know, somebody on the street, so to speak, or, you know, maybe to live down the street, that they would not be as cordial if I was not gifted in this way, being able to communicate in such a way. I don't know if they would be my friend, so to speak, or would love me like they say they love me. Jesse and I, you know, when we come together for other videos, you know, there are other black folks that are there as well from time to time, but we're the ones that actually go out on the road. And you don't think really much about it. But the other night, I'm not kidding, I told Guy, I said, Guy, we got to mix this thing up a little bit. We tease about getting our kids together. You know, he's got 7 boys.
Yeah.
I've got 2 girls. And so there's 2 wives for them right there, you know. we tease about that all the time. I purposely, you know, I don't profile per se, but I do want a diverse body because I want to represent a diverse world and what we're trying to do. And so I'm intentional, Daniel. You have to be intentional about this thing. If we just let things go as they are, Sunday morning will still be the most segregated time that there is. It's time to really make a difference. And I'm not trying to be the little black girl on stage that people refer to as the little black Gaither girl. No, I want you to see Christ, but I also want you to see that I'm part of this bridge that everybody needs to, at some point in their life, they need to take a journey across to see what's on the other side. I'm part Cherokee. I'm 16% Native American. And I could actually have gone to college on a scholarship, and you know, I've learned that after the fact. But still, we're mixed. I'm not just some black kid singing here on a Gaither stage. We have a diverse culture, a diverse history and background. And so I don't know. I don't even know the answer. But I know that I want God to use me to be a conduit in this thing and a bridge.
Let's talk about your personality, because that's one thing that sticks with people. If even if you weren't a good singer, and that's what people normally hear first, I think, are your songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they meet you at the table, I don't know how you do it, because you meet so many. But you either have a good way of faking it that you've known them all their lives, or you really do. And I think it's the latter, because you remember names so well and faces. How do you do it?
You know what, my dad, let me say, my dad's with the Lord since 98. Just bless, I love Nathal Tate, just a great guy. But he just had a memory that you would not believe. He could tell you stories like in 1945, I was in such and such a place and it was so cold. My spit hit the ground, it was turned to ice. I mean, just details, and the weather was this and it was about this. My dad was really, he had just a great memory, and he and my mom are people. My mom is great, but Dad even more so. I mean, he never, ever met a stranger, and I mean that. I mean, never. So my brother, we just meet people. I love people, and there are people that I've met on the Gaither tour that are good friends. And I mean, really, they call the office when I have an opportunity to talk with them or share with them or pray with them. I'm serious about folks. Met a sweet couple, I want to say Brenda and Frank, if I'm not mistaken. I just met them in May of this year, Gatlinburg. They told me about their precious granddaughter that was killed in a car wreck, age 9, and just broke my heart. And I got to meet her mom, this little girl's mom, just a few weeks back in Canada. Blew me away. I mean, the stories, and they sent me pictures of the little girl playing soccer, and I think I have a 9-year-old. I mean, it's just people are real, Daniel. I don't want to pretend with folks. Sure, you get people at your table that sometimes people get, I don't know if the word is obnoxious or a little bit over the top. I don't even know. I have not met a lot of them, but you get kind of interesting, sometimes strange folks at your table, so to speak. And there's still a casual, coy way of even ministering or dealing with that situation. But for the most part, 99% 10 other people, I think they're coming to that table. Just they know you from TV. And what blesses me is people say, well, when I saw you on television, I knew that when I met you, you would be this way. That blesses me because what they're saying is real comes across. And I just try to live real. I mean, this is just who I am. I'm like, I'm very transparent. So if I try to hype it, or if I try to pretend or fake it, you would know it because I'm that real. You know, so I love people. I mean, people come and they have burdens. And I remember folks, for the most part, I don't know. I'm just, because I don't see them as numbers. I don't just see, they just came to buy my CD and thank you very much. I really hear hearts. I hear stories. Now, I'm not going to lie. It's getting a little harder because there are more and more people coming to the table. You know, so it's more and more people are like, oh, Lord, I hope I can keep coming out. I would not like to see the day where I just cannot show up at my table because it's overwhelming.
I'm in love with my Savior and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is He. Watches over me while I sleep and hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be, and now I can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know. Have His way. He has work for us all to do every passing day. Feed the hungry and cheer the sad, and for the sinner pray. You'll have joy that you never had, and then you can say, somebody loves me and answers my prayer.
On Daniel Britt and Friends. By the way, you're listening to a flashback edition. We're going back and pulling up some great moments from late 2006, which that was taken from. That was Linda Randall. And now going into kind of early 2007, we're going to be talking with the Hemp Hills and giving you some highlights from that interview. But first, the Crist family was a group that was very new in late 2006, early 2007, to me at least, and probably to you too. In fact, they had just packed up everything they own, moved their extended family from the extreme northwest part of the U.S. to Tennessee, the southeast. And they're all family except for one guy and his wife that came along to make the journey. They all live right near each other. Tom Joyce is the bass singer. He's the only non-family guy that's in the Crist family singing group. And we talked to him about those dynamics, about their sound. You're going to hear the music that I fell in love with when I first heard the Crist family just a few years back.
I've got to make an assumption, Tom. You're either really abused or you actually get the better end of the stick because you're not family.
Maybe a common, nice yes. Figure. The answer to that question is yes.
Next question.
Don't look at the storm. Eyes on the Master. Hear His sweet voice. Keep following after. Don't yield to your fear when the waves roll high and the water gets deeper. Keep your eyes on the Lord.
destruction our eyes have seen. Fear takes its grip, the future looks bleak. Now we have a choice in what our eyes see. We can look at the waves, we can look at the deep, or we can look at the Master. We won't suffer.
It's the Crist family, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And the Crist family consists of seven singers. We're talking to John and Tammy Starkle, Rich and Lisa Crist, sisters Brianna and Jackie Crist, and Tom Joyce, who sings bass with the group. And earlier we talked about Washington State. That's where this family's originally from. And I asked them a little bit more about that story, the migration from the Northwest to the Southeast. The interview with the Crist family continues.
We actually all lived in the Seattle area, and we left family back there. All of our families are back in that area. So we have part of our hearts back there still, but we have fallen in love with East Tennessee, and it is home.
The Shue family say, what are you guys, crazy?
They come visit us.
You know, that's a good question. Our families were, for the most part, just in total support of what we were going to do. It was just amazing. I think it was part of the confirmation of the call, you know, because it was such a radical move that they could have just all gone crazy, flown off the handle. But I don't know if you could say it was unanimous support, but it was very close to unanimous support in terms of everybody sending us off.
I think we're the ones who've said, are we crazy?
Yeah.
More often than anybody else has. But, you know, God continues to shed light on.
That day when you walk into the office and you say, okay, I'm resigning, you know, and you sell your home and you're driving out of town and you're waving goodbye to all of our families, which happened to be from there. It was rough.
I bet.
And then they ask you why you're doing that. You tell them to go into full-time gospel music ministry.
Yeah.
And then the questions start flying. Well, how are you going to make a living? And, you know, where's the money?
It'd be one thing to say, I'm going into real estate.
That's right. Where are you going to live? And how are you going to do this? And the only answer is, well, we don't know, but God's telling us to do it. And, but there's a great comfort when you know that it is because God told us to do it and that we don't really have to worry about the rest.
Of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky, and I believe. one day.
Chris Family, today's guests on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Today's interview with the Chris Family will be posted online as an MP3 download. You can grab it and listen to it again on your iPod or burn it to a CD and take it with you in the car. It's danielbritt.com. Back to the interview. Let's find out how many years these guys have been singing together.
We just have our 2-year anniversary for going full time. And, you know, it's been amazing to see what's happened over in just a short amount of time.
Yeah.
God's just totally blessed that move.
Now, when I listen to your music, I hear a lot of good production. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I would imagine that it sounds like you guys really put a lot of effort into what you do. And did that come because maybe back in Washington State, you didn't have a lot of gospel music? So if you were going to do it, you had to do it right.
My philosophy is if you can't do it right, don't do it at all. I mean, that's just my philosophy. And we work extremely hard to try to get that across. And we didn't know how that was going to happen when we got here. Another miracle in our mind is that Crossroads Records picked us up right away. Hmm. And I just love them. Yeah. I just love what they do there. They have the same philosophy. They don't want to put out junk. They want to put out great music. And we got our minds together, and I walked in and talked to Jeff Collins the first time and said, "Jeff, I can't do anything unless it's done right." And he goes, "Good, you're the right place. We'll get along great." And so, you know, it's what we want, and it's what they do for us.
It's not always the easy way, is it?
Oh, no. We work real hard to get that.
It's quite the opposite.
I work these guys real hard, and they,
amen.
And they're there every step of the way. They just bust it to get it right. And so it pays off. It's worthwhile to do it right.
How many dates are you traveling now every year?
Well, we're nearing 85 this year, and our first full year in traveling full time. Because our first year moving here, we were just putting things together. Homes and whatnot. And our first project with Crossroads was released in August of 2005. And so that was kind of our starting date, if you will. Mm-hmm. So in our first full year, we're up to 85 concerts this year already in 2006. And we're hoping to be up to 130 to 150 next year dates.
Jackie and Brianna, did you guys get into this just because your parents said you either do it or you don't eat?
I think we both really felt the call of God on our lives to come into ministry. We didn't really know what we were getting into when we understood that we moved out here, but I think it's really become real to us, and we believe we're where we're supposed to be, or I do anyways.
Yeah, it's not always easy, yeah. And especially right now because I'm in school. Well, she just graduated, and I'm a senior, so it's traveling and doing school at the same time, but... I mean, God's helping us through everything, so He's going to pull us through.
It's one thing for your parents. It's another thing, I'd imagine, for you to have at your age to say, "We're going to go do this," and they're like, "What?"
Especially in Washington, because they're like, "Southern gospel?
What is that?
What kind of music is that?
I've never heard of it.
Is that like country? Yeah. Are you in a band?" What's your band? But they were confused. I try to avoid answering that question before we left. I'm moving because of work.
Yeah.
They're still confused.
Oh, I've come here to tell you that the Lord is good. His mercy will endure forever, like the shed of wood. So let's exalt his name together. Don't you think we should? We should. Oh, I've come here to tell you that the Lord is good. He's a lamp unto my feet and he leads the way. He is the bread when I am hungry day after day. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my Prince of Peace. I have found in Jesus everything that I need. Oh, I've come here to tell you. His name together, don't you think we should? Oh, I'm confused to tell you that the Lord is good.
Now, the Crist family, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. By the way, that was recorded in September of 2006 and originally aired in early 2007 here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Thought you'd enjoy that highlight. Now, this is a group, honestly, I never went to see them in concert, never had that opportunity, but they impacted me as a child. I'll tell you how. The Hemphills, Joel and Labriska and their family group, my goodness, probably the earliest memory of gospel music that I can remember. I interviewed them in September of 2006 as well. This aired in early 2007, Joel and Labriska Hemphill. And you want to make note that Labriska comes from the Goodman family and was a sister to the late Howard Goodman. So that's kind of putting some things in perspective as we talk about this. And of course, Joel Hemphill, great songwriter and producing great talent. Their daughter and son in the group, and made a name for themselves as well. Joel and Labriska Hemphill, here's a flashback now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The song that introduced me probably to gospel music, I mean, I can't think of anything before this. And I was 3 or 4, and I was walking around the house, and they tell me I could say all the books of the Bible, and I could probably count, you know, to 10 or something, and I could sing He's Still Working on Me. And that's the earliest recollection of music. And I remember sitting, you know, the big floor speaker, and I would sit there, and I would get as close to the speaker as I could. And I guess Candy sang the lead. It was on a double ward, I guess the top 10 songs of whatever year that was. I don't know, 79 or 83.
79 or 80. I wrote it about 79, okay. So people became aware of it about that
year. There was a skip. There was a scratch, I guess, in the record, and about 3/4 of the way through, maybe when you were just sort of doing the reprise or repeating the tagline, it would kind of skip. And so if I ever heard a correct version of the song, it sounded off to me because I was so used to it.
That's part of it.
That belonged there.
That's right. That's good.
So tell me how that song, which is probably one of the, you know, that's just going to live and live and live. How did that come about?
Well, of course, if you ride the bus a lot, you see a lot of bumper stickers.
Yeah.
And I saw a bumper sticker one day that said, "Be patient. God is not finished with me yet."
Yeah.
So that kind of sparked an idea and I began to think about it. And it was after that that I was in a deer stand. I'm a deer hunter, and you get to do a lot of thinking. And I've written a few songs in deer stands. And so
Back then, that was about the only time you had alone.
That's
really.
Right. Yeah. Wife, three kids, and eight musicians and a bus driver. So, you know, you're. Yeah. So anyway, I was on a deer stand, and it came back to me. And so I wrote it and came and sang it.
Well, you called me on the telephone from there, from one of a truck stop.
Little town, yeah.
And sang me that, and I knew when I heard it that it was a hit song. But I had to convince the record company. Bill Traylor was ahead right then. I had to convince him to put that out as a single because it was so laid back.
Right.
And it was subtle.
Yeah.
But he didn't know that it just wore a groove right in your head.
Bill's a dear friend. But he was looking for a fast barn burner, you know. And we had one. And he said, okay, I'm going to put this working song out for six weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah. It doesn't do anything. You know, we're going to rush this fast song out.
Sure.
And, of course, I'm not bragging, but it stayed number one for 8 months. And it wasn't payola.
right.
God just blessed.
It's kind of like, what's the Disney World song? It's a small world after all. It gets stuck in your head.
And
that's a really good one to get stuck because of the lyrics. I don't care how old you are, young you are, it applies.
Well, thank you.
I remember just because this song is so unique to me. Was it a woodblock? What was the little, I can't describe it, not a drum beat, but the little...
That's right. It was a woodblock.
Woodblock. Who produced that? Was that Larry Goss? No. I'm trying to think of who produced that.
Yeah. That was Gary Smith on piano.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary went on to be with Dolly Parton and Barbara Mandrell. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, but that was him on the piano and... Partly his idea. You know, these musicians are amazing. I mean, they just get there and they create something. And a song has a certain feel and it calls for a certain feel. Right. And
I think Jerry Crutchfield
might have done that.
I think he produced that.
Just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
There really ought to be a sign upon the heart. Don't judge her yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the
still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Everybody sing.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Once again.
He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth.
That song brings back great memories for me. And it featured Candy Christmas, of course, the Hemp Hills, a family group. And I asked Joel and Labriska about the time when the kids started traveling and singing as part of the group and band.
We married in June of 57. Joey was born in August of 58. And then we had them about 6 months apart.
That's actually,
they were all little at the same time. But yeah. But Joey came when we've been married 14 months. And then the others are about 14 months.
Yeah.
They're about
but they were
months.
Interested, very interested in what we were doing and wanted to be a part of it. And they knew the songs, they knew the music. Trent was taking bass mm-hmm. in school. And so as soon as one bass player left, we said, "You're it." And he nearly fainted.
Oh, wow.
But he knew the songs and he knew how to play. And mm-hmm. when our baritone singer left, we integrated Joey in there. And it's just when a space came open,
sure.
and they were ready to fill it. Mm-hmm. We put them in there.
Well, it's a good way to get to ride the bus. Otherwise, you have to stay home.
And I don't know if riding the bus is a real good idea anyway, but sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
And then later on, when we needed a piano player, Trent was our bass player, mm-hmm. but he knew the arrangements, mm-hmm. and he knew what sound he wanted where. He was our manager of our band. Mm-hmm. So we had several piano players come and stay and then leave. And so Trent said, right. I'm tired of this breaking in new piano players, so I'm going to be our piano player.
Yeah.
So he sold his car and rode around with Joey for a few months and went out and bought a big grand piano and learned to play the piano. So that was in
the
fall.
It was downstairs right under our bed, and he played all night long.
Oh, my.
But, hey, he became a great piano player. Yeah.
Any conflicts as a family on the road in close quarters like that?
Very few. We've had other people ride our bus and say, this is the most peaceful bus I've ever been on.
Wow.
Of course, we'd always start the trip with prayer because you never know what you're going to encounter along the way.
We learned how to give each other their space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to give people their space.
I'd imagine, yeah.
And respect what everybody does. Everybody has his own job to do,
and you
respect that and try not to infringe on it.
Master of the Wind is another great Hemp Hill song. How did that one come about?
I was in Montana, and it had begun to snow, and we were leaving Great Falls, mm-hmm. and I was going to be driving the bus, and some of our friends called and said, have you closed this road from here to Billings, mm-hmm. two-lane highway, not much shoulder on the road, good highway, but just a two-lane.
Canyons on each side.
Oh, yeah, and they said, we've closed some highways, but that one's open. So we left, got out there about 30 or 40 miles, and that little gentle Montana snow turned into a howling ice storm, wind storm. It was treacherous. The highway glazed over. There was no good place to pull over. So I just slowed down, 15 miles an hour, 20, mm-hmm. and I actually felt the bus slide a time or two. And so I'm praying, I'm saying, God, please have your hand on the wheel of this bus because it's beyond me. I know God's the master of everything, but right then I needed the master of the wind.
Yeah.
And I mean, that thought just dropped into my spirit. And it's like he said, I'm the master of the wind. I calm the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to see you through. So the storm kept blowing, but I settled down.
Yeah, yeah.
And began to tear up and just think about, God's protection. He's seen us through lots of miles. And then a little bit I was riding, I know the master of the wind.
Yeah.
So by the time we rolled into Billings the next morning, I had that song finished. And so we've all seen our storms,
sure.
and life has its unexpected storms. We enjoy singing that still.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again.
You have a pretty good memory?
Have a pretty good memory?
He has a wonderful memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you are ever in a place where you don't have a pen and paper or a tape recorder and a thought or a hook or a melody comes to you and you can't write it down or document it anyway and you've got to wait a few hours, is it hard to, do you have to repeat it to yourself?
Oh, I have to repeat it to myself a lot, yeah. But I have just stopped at a red light and grabbed an envelope and just
scribbled it.
You know, I passed a Church of Christ church in Nashville, well, Madison, Tennessee, one day, and they had a sign out on the marquee, prepare now. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark.
Yeah.
And so at the next red light, I had a pen and an envelope and scratching down, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Yeah. And that became a number one.
I reminded Joel the other day, though, when he was a lot younger, we were so busy building our house, traveling. It would come time to record and start getting our material ready to record. And I'd follow him around with a pen and a pad and say, now give me the words to your songs. What do you have? And he'd be working on the house. He'd be doing, you know, hammering, whatever.
Yeah.
And he would quote me those songs, and I would write them down. And then I'd get our secretary to type them up for us. So he had them stored in his mind.
Wow. Consider the lilies. That comes straight from Scripture.
So, right.
So where'd the melody come from for that?
Just out of my spirit, Daniel. Sometimes when you get a lyric, and I can get more words than I can melodies, but the best song, I think, the best songs that I write, the melody comes with the lyric.
Right.
When it doesn't, then I try not to struggle with it. I give it to LaBrisca or Candy or one of our producers, you know, Larry Goss has done that for us, Jerry Crutchfield, different ones. Help with melodies, because if you get too many melodies that are similar, it gets the cookie cutter effect, you know, and you need that individuality with your songs. So, but that was one that just the words and melody came together.
Consider the sparrow, he don't plant
Dated for a few weeks and married in June of 57.
And so you first saw them, first saw
her
Brisca
with the Goodmans. Yes, uh-huh.
Did anything spark an interest at that point?
Well, kinda, just a little.
Something happened that's been 49 years.
I guess so.
He started showing up at all of our revivals around in those areas. And yeah. So we began to look at one another and go out, and we double dated with Rusty. He was not married.
I loved all the Goodmans, but LaBrisca was my favorite.
I've got specialized in good things, things that you and I really need. Good things for the body and spirit. All you have to do is just believe.
The Hemphills here on Daniel Britton Friends. What a great flashback. And if you'd like to flashback even deeper, you can get the full interviews from Linda Randall, the Chris family, and the Hemphills. They're online and available for you to download right now at danielbritt.com. Just scroll back into the archives of 2006 and 2007 at danielbritt.com. I'll see you here next week.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.